Adelaide. We're back from the holidays for Rampage.
We are.
How was your Thanksgiving?
It was wonderful. I went to my in-laws.
Good stuff.
Yeah, my mother-in-law can cook. What about you?
I went to my in-laws.
Oh, how was that?
Ironically, really, really tasty.
Excellent.
And I say it's irony because they're from the Northeast, they're from Massachusetts.
Okay.
So I would figure that they would be like, old-fashioned, traditional. I mean, I personally am not a fan of green bean casserole, as it stands.
Yeah.
But everything else was magnificent.
Excellent.
I was very pleased. Now, are we just going to call it there, what we like this week?
Sure. Thanksgiving. We like it.
We like it.
We now, approve.
10 out of 10, we'll recommend. Now, folks, I am going to say, sorry we missed Dynamite. Well, we didn't miss it. We watched it. I watched it.
Well, I watched it.
Yeah, so we watched Dynamite, but we didn't do a show for it because holidays is the night before Thanksgiving. There was going to be a whole lot, and then editing, it would have come out way too late. So we skipped it, and now we're doing Rampage.
You're welcome.
My name is Javier Augusto. Her name is Adelaide Lori. This is We Like What We Like.
Hello, everyone.
All right, now we're going to go ahead and see what happens first, and then we'll get right back to you.
Mm-hmm. Adam Cole, baby.
Yeah, Adam Cole and Bobby Fish got that first match in.
Yep.
Against?
Best Friends.
That's right. Orange Cassidy and Wheeler Yuta.
Yes.
It was a great match. I immediately was entertained. It started out funny. It started out in that very intense Adam Cole way, and it was very fun. But Orange Cassidy got all his comedy bits in, and it was amazing.
It was really funny. It was really good, too. Very entertaining match.
All right, we're going to go ahead and start with my first like of the match. Actually, let's start with your first like, which I know what it's going to be, so go ahead and say it.
Interesting. I'm wondering if you're right. I actually wrote down my first like is the speed of Wheeler Yuta and then the slowness of Orange Cassidy in the beginning of the match.
Oh, that's not what I thought.
I love that storytelling. I know.
I thought you were going to say the intros.
No, I wasn't. I can't do that every time.
But the intros are great.
Yes, but I can't do it every time.
Oh, okay, well, then I'm going to say that.
Yeah, well, I just like the way that they did that. They're tag team partners and you know, they're supposed to be on the same page. One was super slow and one was super fast, and it still worked out, and I liked it.
Yeah, with Orange Cassidy, it's sort of that, I'm too cool for this.
Yeah.
I'm too cool for this. Like, why am I? I don't need to sweat to win a match. I'm entirely too cool for this. And Wheeler Yuta's like, man, I got to win. It's going to be so great.
I got to do it now.
Got to do it now. Get it in there now.
Where are you? Why aren't you here?
Oh, man, that's going to lead to one of my likes later, but absolutely. Adam Cole and Orange Cassidy get their little face-off in the beginning of the match. And this is actually my first like. Where Adam Cole, Orange Cassidy and Adam Cole are in the match against each other after Wheeler Yuta and Bobby Fish started the match. Now they're both in the match, and Orange Cassidy is going to put his hands in his pockets. You know, the audience is doing the oh, and it's good. But Adam Cole stops him, says stop, puts his hand in his face, says stop. And then he gets down and sets up his intro, and, you know, the entire audience is like, whoop. He puts his hands up, Adam Cole, baby. The whole place pops. So Orange Cassidy goes to put his hands in his pockets. And the entire place is like, whoa. Because everybody's in on it, and it's fan-friggin-tastic. Adam Cole stops him, and that, of course, always starts the good exchanges between Orange Cassidy and whoever he's going up against. So that was really my like, my first like.
It's funny.
0.5, the entrances.
My second like is actually the same as your first, but not just that. Like the entire exchange when it was Adam Cole and Orange Cassidy in the beginning, from the funny bits that you just talked about to the wrestling, there it was just very entertaining. It was fun, fun part to watch, and you know, Orange Cassidy throughout the entire thing. Still trying to keep the comedy in there by still trying to put his hands in his pockets. It was great. It was right. Well done.
And you know, you can't do that. Either everybody's got to agree to go slower for your rest, for your comedy bits, which I've seen plenty of times with like Doink the Clown and other crap like that.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can incorporate it into all of the parts of the match. Again, Doink the Clown, just a different doink. And that happens. And it's fantastic to watch where you get a chance to see that, where he's obviously a good enough wrestler that he's incorporating his comedy bits inside
right.
of it. Yeah, it's really fun to watch.
It worked really well.
That leads into my second like, which is the second half of this match, which is Wheeler Yuta versus either Bobby Fish or Adam Cole. That's where it's really aggressive, really intense, plucky upstart veterans trying to teach him a lesson. And Bobby Fish throws some kicks that, oh my gosh, they're just friggin' amazing. He throws kicks where you look at him and you're like, yeah, that would have taken someone's head off if he hits it a different way. It was really good stuff. Wheeler Yuta gets beat down for a while, which leads me to my my second like, which is Wheeler Yuta Wheeler Yuta gets the hot tag to Orange Cassidy while Adam Cole and Bobby Fish are down in the ring. Now, a hot tag means your partner comes in and rips up the place, but Orange Cassidy is that tag team partner. So he comes in, finally gets his hands in his pockets, and then does those like low effort kicks that he does to both Bobby Fish and Adam Cole. Just a little kick, little kick, little kick. I'm sorry, I couldn't do this as a live commentary. I would just laugh the whole way through.
You mean like you did through this?
Yeah, exactly. Like I did through this match.
Just checking.
Okay. You're pulling back the curtain, Adelaide. You're pulling back the curtain.
Sorry.
So he does that. And then, of course, they do the counteract. And then you see how good Orange Cassidy is when he goes past the double clothesline, ends up with a double drop kick, does a kick, kip up, hands in pockets, goes past them again when they're trying a double team move, jumps up, does a two-person hurricanrana, or a double hurricanrana, as people like to call it. It's just ridiculous. Amazing to watch him wrestle when he goes on speed. And when he's going slow, it's just fantastic.
So my third was interesting. We are very similar in all of this, is because I wrote down, this is a great showcase for Wheeler Yuta. And I've seen him wrestle before, but this one kind of made it feel like, okay, he's learned, he's gotten better. Let's see what he can do. Let's put him on Rampage. Let's put him with Adam Cole and Bobby Fish. I thought it was great. I thought it was a great showcase for him because it was up, it was down, it was fast. He got so high off that third rope. Man, and he's tall. So
yes, I think he's like 5'11", 6 foot. He's tall for a cruiserweight type wrestler.
So I just thought the whole thing was just so well done. There was nothing in it that I can pinpoint, because I would be writing down everything that was happening and miss the whole thing. So I'm just going to say that last half, where it was mostly Wheeler Yuta with both Adam Cole and Bobby Fish, was my third like, because it was really for them to show off what Wheeler Yuta could do. Even though when he came in, he was very good. I'm not saying he wasn't. It was just a different feel. Like, he was more comfortable.
Right, because he's from the Indies, and people who know him from the Indies go, oh my God, Wheeler Yuta is so much better than the job out matches they've been giving him. But he's young. Mm-hmm. So, and they've already established a bunch of young talent. So you got to let him build in, and he's with the best friend. They're going to let him build in from that side, which has worked for Chris Statlander.
Yes.
So that's what they're doing. And it was a good angle. I think it was a great decision to do it, because leads to my third like, you're right about the showcase.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they do the dives to the outside, you know, classic AEW stuff. Everybody goes outside.
Right.
But again, second hot tag to Orange Cassidy. And you've got Adam Cole, I believe it's Adam Cole, is in the corner. And Orange Cassidy starts from the opposite corner to do a sort of a running clothesline. He puts one arm up, like he's going to run in and do the clothesline.
Oh, that was Bobby Fish.
Thank you, Bobby Fish. Yeah. So, and then Wheeler Yuta just looks at him like, oh, okay, he's not going fast. All right, fine. So he runs and does a slam on Bobby Fish and then runs back. And Orange Cassidy's still just kind of strolling over there. So Wheeler Yuta does it again, runs past Orange Cassidy, does another slam on Bobby Fish. Then Orange Cassidy gets there. And when Orange Cassidy gets there, instead of clotheslining him, he just grabs him, or grabs Bobby Fish, and throws him into Wheeler Yuta, who does a slam. This sort of low effort, high effort combination, it was an incredibly interesting way to do a tag team match for one tag team. And it never felt like the other guys were stupid or bad or couldn't keep up. It was a really, really entertaining match.
Yeah, like everybody was on the same level.
It goes back to my everything got incorporated well.
Right.
Honestly, if one thing changes or another thing changes, Orange Cassidy and Wheeler Yuta win. Unfortunately, they didn't. That's how it went.
For sure. It was good.
It was a very good match. Overall, loved it.
All right, we're going to watch what's next and we'll get back to you.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Well, we had a few things happen there, didn't we?
We sure did.
We had Tony Nese talking to Tony Schiavone. And
finally, because he's been sitting in the audience for the past couple months.
Yeah, he's actually had one talking segment like 2 months ago.
Yeah.
And it was like a hello, I'm here now. The premier athlete is here and hasn't done anything.
Sure.
Now he finally gets a talking bit. He gets an interview, says that he wants to face off with Sammy Guevara, and if Jay Lethal, Bobby Fish, or whatever, it's three guys that Sammy Guevara faced, right?
I can't remember.
Neither can I. Regardless, if they had all done their homework, they would be TNT champion now, and that's what Tony Nese, the premier athlete, is going to do. He's going to face Sammy Guevara and become the new TNT champion. Now, you believe what about this?
Oh, I think he's going to win. I think they've been setting it up a couple of promos ago when Jay Lethal said, I'm going to be the first person to come in here and take a title off someone in my first match. And I'm like, no, you're not. And then when they showed
Tony Nese
in the audience, I went, he's going to be the first one because they set it up that way, at least in my opinion. So we'll see if I'm right.
I'm going to tell you that Yes, Tony Nese was poorly used, and he's a fantastic wrestler, and I've seen his matches, and he's amazing. I don't know that he's the guy that you have come in from the outside and take a title off someone. In my opinion, he still has the WWE thing on him. Yes, I get it. You got a lot of people being released by WWE. Something's going to have to give eventually. You're going to have to move some stuff around eventually.
I don't think he has the WWE thing. I didn't even know he was from the WWE, so... There you go.
That's how little they used him. Good call. After that, we had, I thought it was an okay promo. Sammy Guevara walks up afterwards. He gets in Tony's face. Tony sucker punches him, then puts his knee on his ribs, selling that fact that Sammy Guevara's ribs are hurt. Now, for me.
And that he's been watching.
Right. For me, it doesn't mean anything. Sammy Guevara literally got his ribs destroyed for, 10 minutes and still won a match against a guy that I consider better than Tony Nese.
I think we've talked about it longer than it was actually a thing. So I don't think they thought it was a...
Yeah, I know. It just feels like it was just oversold. However, Tony Nese, good wrestler. It'll be a very good match.
Yeah, and then we had FTR just give us a little rundown about how they're the best tag teams in the world. Tag team in the world.
Yes. And Dax said... Doesn't matter. Maybe they're not the best. But until you find something better. And so it was pretty good. But what the promo really said is that Dynamite, we're getting a stacked Dynamite.
Yeah.
Because we're getting FTR versus the Lucha Brothers, best 2 out of 3 falls.
Yes.
This is going to be amazing. This is going to be an instant classic. This is going to be one of the best tag team matches in AEW history. In my opinion, that's me. Maybe I'm hyperbolic or maybe I'm predicting it.
We'll see.
And then we had...
Riho and Britt Baker.
DMD.
Mark.
So, Riho, the inaugural AEW Women's Champion. Britt Baker, the current AEW Women's Champion. Now, Riho, obviously due to the pandemic and travel, was never able to properly defend the title, was never able to build herself back up to have the title again. But Britt Baker and Riho had a very good match. It was competent. My first like is automatically that Riho is so small and Britt Baker is tall for a girl, but she looks so much taller against Riho.
Mm-hmm.
So they do this dynamic where they're taking the first part of the match sort of building up how tough Riho is. And they do a good job. I feel they did a very good job due to the speed and athleticism that they were going with.
Yeah. My first like was just a move. It was just a moment in some of that where Riho was being pinned. And she just kind of, she's so tiny. She just scurries out from underneath Britt Baker and like gets up. So I thought that was funny.
Yes. And again, which goes to my second like, again, back to the toughness of Riho, where she gets dropped with a big move and she gets pinned and she's getting bodied. Like, you know, Britt Baker's doing a full body cover, hooks the leg. And Riho kicks out at like 2.5.
Mm.
And it looks like she's just toughing it out because Britt doesn't do that thing where some people will do when they're trying to carry a match, where they'll just pop up a little bit and make the gap look bigger for the other person.
Mm.
No, Riho literally grinds it out. It looked good. Storytelling wise, it looked good. I think that if the audience is paying attention to stuff like this, they would have appreciated that too.
Yeah, I liked Britt Baker's aggressiveness throughout this whole thing. She was really going after her. And yes, I like watching her matches. I think she's very good. But sometimes I think she takes it a little soft when they're new. So I think her and Riho must really be comfortable because she is very aggressive.
Right.
In this one. Right. So I did like that.
Unfortunately, when they went to the finish, it got a little sloppy in the finish. Britt wasn't as fast in certain parts and Riho wasn't as aggressive in certain parts. So it really did look so-so, but the pin was creative and it's what I expected.
Right.
So it did lead into a like, which is how Riho sort of did a quick squirrely pin, did a roll through into a leg lock for the pin on Britt Baker, which I was very sure was going to happen the way that the commentary kept saying, Britt Baker has never beaten Riho. Mm. This is now 3-0 for Riho. She's been in three separate matches against Britt Baker, and all three of them that she has been in with Britt Baker, she has pinned Britt Baker. She's had, I think it was a 3-in-person, and then a 4-person, and now this singles match. And it has always been Riho pinning Britt Baker.
Mm.
So I think that's going to set up a whole confidence issue, makes Riho a bigger threat for the title. I think it's going to build pretty nicely.
I did like how, and even though Jamie Hayter and Rebel were outside the ring for Britt Baker, they only really interfered one time, and it wasn't that big of a deal. But for the rest of the match, they really don't have anything to do with it. And I like that. I think if you're going to be a champion, yes, I know she's a heel. So I know sometimes they have to insert themselves in for her to win. But there are certain times where you want your champions to win on their own or lose on their own. And I like that they really didn't do anything. So that was my final.
Absolutely. I agree with you. Because it sets up the storytelling. It sets up this whole narrative where Riho is a lot sneakier and tougher than you think she is. Oh, you're bigger. You're stronger. You're aggressive. You beat Thunder Rosa in this bloody affair that's not sanctioned, but it was a bloody affair everybody remembers. You've beaten a lot of other people. You beat Nyla Rose. You've beaten...
Ruby Soho.
She beat Shida.
Yeah.
You know, you've beaten some quality opponents. But Riho, the smaller girl, the smallest one, still has your number.
Right.
Which I like. All right, so we're getting ready for the main event. So we're going to go see what that's like, and then we're going to get back to you guys.
It's time for the main event. You can do it better than him.
Okay, you could save that for the next segment.
It's time for the main event.
Sounded better that time.
Thank you.
I liked it. You're almost as good as Mark Henry.
I'm better.
Okay. Now, we had Eddie Kingston versus Daniel Garcia.
Who?
Say that every time. Daniel Garcia, honestly, great young talent, technically proficient, fantastic. I want to see a four-way elimination match between Daniel Garcia, Wheeler Yuta, Lee Moriarty, and Angelico. Yes, Angelico. Because they're the most technically gifted athletes in AEW. You don't have to go anywhere outside. I want to see those four guys in a number one contenders four-way elimination match for Bryan Danielson's title. Whenever Bryan Danielson has a title, those four guys, that's what I want to see in it. So that I can enjoy that match. Because I know it'll be technically awesome. Now, ignoring everything else, this was a very good match. You've got a young, scrappy technical wrestler.
Scrappy.
Yeah. Going after a, a gritty, hard-nosed, gully wrestler in Eddie Kingston. I loved this match for all of the elements it gave me. There were no sloppy parts. There were no parts where I thought, oh, that doesn't make a lot of narrative or wrestling sense. It was very good.
Yes, and it was wrapped up in a beautifully perfected selling bow that is Eddie Kingston.
Oh, Eddie Kingston, I mean, he could sell that he stubbed his toe and now his foot is ruined.
He's got gangrene and they're going to cut it off and he's going to fight till the end. I don't know, man. I mean, every movement, everything, his ragdoll arms that he does when he's tired, everything just comes together to tell that story.
Yeah, and Daniel Garcia was no slouch in the selling department.
No.
That kid put on a show. That kid put on a show. You believed it. He's coming after Eddie Kingston. He's hitting Eddie Kingston 3, 4, and 5 times to Eddie Kingston's one hit, showing that Eddie Kingston is the powerhouse in this match, plus the grittier fighter in this match.
Right.
And then you've got this young, scrappy, I'm going. And then he gets hit, and he starts backing off. It really is good. And then you can see that in the beginning of the match, my first like is how much Eddie Kingston doesn't have to try. Eddie Kingston doesn't have to. You've got Daniel Garcia doing all of this extra work in the beginning, wasting all of this energy. And Eddie Kingston's just like, yeah, bang. And Daniel Garcia is already knocked back down to like step two again. It's fantastic. It really, really is. It was Daniel Garcia pushing a boulder up a hill and Eddie Kingston being the hill, making him go right back down there again. It was really good. It was really good for me.
It was so good. I had a hard time picking things out that I liked because there weren't like moments of brilliance. Everything kind of led to the next thing and the next thing. And so you couldn't like take something out and go, okay, this was a showcase. Okay, this was a showcase. It was like you have to watch the whole thing or you miss something. So I don't really have like fate. I'm just going to tell you what I think sold my points of what I think sold this match was really kind of what you said was the no bullshit strikes that Eddie Kingston was doing for like it was just like, boom, here you go. Boom, here you go. It was the attitude at which he was throwing them. And that's kind of led into the next story of their match. So, yeah. I
don't disagree with anything you just said.
It's so difficult when it's like that.
Well, yeah, when it's a match where one guy's trying to prove himself, but it's not like you've got 60 flippy moves. And also, Daniel Garcia didn't break out into a whole bunch of, oh, I'm going to manipulate your joints. I'm going to manipulate your arms. I'm going to manipulate your feet. No, but he does go after Eddie Kingston's leg, my second leg. When Eddie Kingston comes off the top rope and he lands on his leg, on his foot, funny. And so it looks like he hurt his knee. And so now he's selling his left knee for the rest of the match.
Right.
And you've got Daniel Garcia going after that leg for the rest of the match and doing a phenomenal job of it. Never making it look like it has to be this convoluted Indian deathlock garbage just to get the move right. No. Mm-mm. Nope. He goes after it. He's doing heel hooks. He's doing inverted figure fours. He's doing whatever he has to. Leg stretches, kicking the hamstring, pulling on the leg. He's doing whatever he has to keep Eddie Kingston off his feet.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right. And it's not like, okay, I'm going to set this up and then we're going to do this. It was none of that. It was like, I know your knee hurts. Oh, I have the availability to do X. I'm going to do it here. Okay, we're scrapping. Oh, your leg landed such a way I can now do this. There was no setup. It was so organic the way it all kind of flowed together. This is how we landed. Oh, now I have the opportunity to do an ankle lock or whatever. And that's kind of, it was like a desperation, like, oh, you know, I have to get this done. I have to get this done. And this is the best way I can do it. It was not methodical. It was just desperation and knowledge
right. Throughout
the whole thing. And that's what I mean. There was no like points of brilliance that you could point to. There was just a display of a really organic, really, I can't even describe it. It just flowed.
I think I'm going to go with the word you used, knowledge.
Yeah.
And that describes really my third like, is that both Eddie Kingston and Daniel Garcia had knowledge of not only their moveset, but how to enact that moveset on another person when needed. Daniel Garcia would move a certain way. He makes a small mistake, hesitates a little too long, stands up a little too straight. Eddie Kingston grabs him, flings him into a slam. And Or straight just starts punching him. But it's those things that made it work. And I agree with you. It's very organic. This isn't that smooth, flowing,
it wasn't
Leo Rush, Matt Sydal.
Right.
This isn't Dante Martin versus Lee Moriarty. That's not this kind of match. This is one guy who's scrappy, but very talented technically and has a lot of knowledge about how to do things to the human body. And another guy who's a fighter and has a lot of knowledge, and neither of them, it wasn't sloppy, but it felt like neither of them had absolute control over what they wanted to do. So they were getting it in when they could get it in, and they did. Every time, it looked really great. It looked raw. That's what it is. It looked raw.
Yeah, it wasn't a choreographed dance.
No.
It wasn't a move for move kind of a thing.
Nope.
It was a brawl. It was get yours when you get yours.
Yep.
It was a winner take all kind of mentality, and that's what made, and for both of them, so you didn't have one wrestler who was trying to get his moves and the other wrestler's like, nah, I'm just gonna beat you down. They were both just trying to get it done.
Yes. And again, nothing you just said. Every time you're saying it, it's like, yes, that's what I meant to say. it was a really good match. There was a moment in it where, you know, and of course Eddie Kingston got his stuff in, but he does that sort of spinning back fist when Daniel Garcia has sort of gotten up in the wrong angle. He does the spinning back fist. He misses it because Daniel Garcia has got it scouted, so he ducks, and then he stands up to do something else, but Eddie Kingston keeps the rotation going and hits him with the second one, coming back around. He doesn't stop. He swings for it. He misses it. He comes back around, hits it. Daniel Garcia almost blocked it, but he couldn't because he was already tired. He hits the ground. Eddie Kingston lands on top of him, pins him. 1, 2, 3, it's over.
Yeah. Yeah. It was as if these men have been wrestling each other for years and just knew like what to do in certain situations, but they were just so desperate to win. It was really good. That was
a spectacular
authentic
match.
Wrestling match.
Yeah. Now, Daniel Garcia, of course, he's always with 2.0, right? So 2.0 came out with him. After the match is over and Eddie Kingston has won, 2.0 comes into the match. They start beating down Eddie Kingston. Fine. After the match, beat down angle. The heels do that. It's fine. I have no problem with it.
Mm-hmm.
But as they're beating him down, Jericho has been talking about how much he doesn't like 2.0 while he's on commentary. He gets off the commentary desk. He runs down to the ring, clears the ring.
Well, and the other aspect to that, too, it wasn't necessarily doesn't like 2.0, but that he respects Eddie Kingston.
Yeah.
And so he hesitates a little bit as he gets up and goes onto the ramp, like, And then he just runs down there and he does it. And he's like, yeah, hell yeah. Because no matter what I think about Eddie Kingston, nobody deserves that after what he just did.
Correct.
It was more of that kind of thing, not like, I'm going to go down there and save my friend.
No, it's not at all like that.
So it was definitely a, oh no, after that and the respect I have for him, I'm going to go down there and like do what I need to do so that it's not 2-on-1 after that very grueling match he just had.
And it was. They got time. They got like 20 minutes on that match, or almost. So it was good. I all in all, good match. My likes were there. There was a little half like for the main event, like talking heads thing that they do. It's Eddie Kingston looking at Daniel Garcia. Daniel Garcia talking about how it's Black Friday and he's still going to, you know, he hopes that he didn't have too much turkeys and whoop his ass. But Eddie Kingston says, you guys talk a lot. And Daniel Garcia, just so you know, you're a little too light in the ass to mess with me, saying, you're too small. You're not in my weight class. You honestly should be wrestling smaller guys. And it was great. It's great to hear that kind of talk. I really did enjoy it.
Me too. It was good.
All right. So we're gonna go out. We're going to come back with our final thoughts on the episode.
All righty. Final thoughts?
Yeah, absolutely.
Did you enjoy Rampage?
I enjoyed Rampage a whole lot.
Who's Rampagey on your Black Friday?
It's a good Rampagey on the Black Friday.
Did you go shopping today?
God, no.
Me either. People are crazy.
No, we don't do that kind of stuff. That's insanity. You're not looking for that kind of drama.
No, for sure not.
I will say the following. I enjoyed coming off of just a couple of really good episodes of wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got a Dynamite. Yes, we didn't do an episode, sorry guys, but it was a really good episode of Dynamite. Led into Rampage very well. We got our Rampage episode in, which is good. And so I'm going to tell you my favorite thing on this show, or really for the week so far, is that I'm getting to enjoy some really good wrestling. And then it's leading into next week, or the next 3 or 4 weeks. Yeah, the next 4 weeks of Dynamite, which are the last 4 weeks on TNT. Yeah. And then we're going to TBS, so that's going to be interesting.
Yeah, I really did enjoy Rampage today. It was well done, top to bottom. It was a good show.
Agreed.
I wish more people watched it.
Yeah, well, I mean, it gets 500,000 viewers.
It's hard. It's late.
It is late. It's so hard when it's 10 p.m.
on a Friday, man.
Yeah, and we're not done until, what, 11:30?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's rough, man.
It's late.
That's rough. I'm drinking coffee to get this in, so... So I'm making it work, and we are doing a good job on this, I feel. So folks, thank you so much for listening. Adelaide, tell them the things.
If you want to comment, tell us what we're doing right, what we could improve on, please feel free to email us at wlwwlpodcast@gmail.com. Or if you want to read one of my books, third one coming soon. You can find it at www.adelaidelaurie.com. And thank you so much for listening. We are getting closer to 50, so I will do one segment ASMR style once we get to 50.
Fantastic. For Adelaide Laurie, my name is Javier Augusto. This has been We Like What We Like.
Yay! I'll tell you no matter.